This is Dana Monsees, the nutritionist and Whole30 certified coach behind Real Food with Dana, and you're listening to the Real Talk with Dana podcast. You guys, I am so incredibly excited because I have an amazing guest on the podcast today. We're talking all about the juicy topic of will lifting weights or CrossFit make women bulky? We're also going to cover how to become empowered in your own skin and become what Steph Gaudreau of Stupid Easy Paleo would call being an unbreakable human, or as Taylor calls it on the podcast today, unfuckwithable. That being said, if you are the kind of person who doesn't like curse words, prepare to be mildly offended by this episode, because Taylor and I have a bit of what you might call a sailor mouth, because we're both extremely passionate about this topic, and sometimes it just comes out. As you may have been able to guess already, my guest today is Taylor Gage of She Thrives blog, and she's a blogger, a portrait photographer, and a CrossFit L1 and USA weightlifting coach whose mission is to empower women to find their strength. She's a New Yorker turned Seattleite who loves to help women live their best life, feel like queens in the skin they're in, ditch the pursuit of perfect, and embrace themselves as they are. So without any further ado, let's get to the episode with Taylor.
All right. So I'm super pumped to have Taylor on the podcast here today. So for anyone who kind of has been like living under a social media rock and doesn't know who you are, can you just introduce yourself?
Of course. First of all, immediately when you ask that, I think of this meme I saw, which says that moment when people ask you to tell you a little bit about yourself and you can't remember who the fuck you are all of a sudden. It's like, oh God, who am I? I don't know. Anyway, hi. My name is Taylor, and I run a blog. It's called She Thrives, and it is a blog. It sort of started off as like a food, paleo, kind of CrossFit blog, and it's sort of grown into an all the things blog for wellness and self-care and health and mindset and mental health and fitness and nutrition and, you know, sort of all the things. And it's a blog that I'm super passionate about, and I love sharing my mission with women. It's basically, you know, it's obviously aimed towards women, and we have an awesome community of people, and I love it. So yeah, it's a blog. I now have a podcast too, and you can, so that's where I am in the internet land.
I love it. So most people, if they look at you now, you're like a CrossFit coach, you have a blog about empowering women and all this stuff. They probably wouldn't expect what your background is. So can you kind of explain how you got here to be a CrossFit coach and an entrepreneur empowering women and why you're so passionate about what you're doing today?
Yeah, so I was not like a, what you would call like a gym goer, or I think I would consider myself moderately active, although in comparison to how the life I live today, it's probably not the same, but I wasn't like completely sedentary. But the point is, I was not like a crazy active person. I wasn't a crazy gym goer. I never liked gyms like at all, to be honest with you. I did like classes in gyms because I liked the group fitness vibe, but I never did the like machines or, you know, my own programming or any of that business. So I really like found fitness in like a completely new way when I found CrossFit. And that was almost 6 years ago now, believe it or not. I can't believe it's been 6 years. But and that finding CrossFit completely changed my life in a million ways. So I had just moved to Seattle with my now husband and was starting to put roots down and build my wedding photography business, because I've always, not always, but previous to that, for like prior few years, I had really developed an interest in photography and loved it. So I was starting to build my wedding photography business here in Seattle. And I had been studying it for a while, in the sense that like I had mentors, I'd been going to seminars and workshops and big like photography conventions, and I'd really been studying photography and both the art of photography, but also the art of owning your own business, which is what most photographers are. So I had a little bit of experience kind of studying that and learning what all that meant. I found CrossFit through Groupon, actually. I found like a Groupon. I think it was Pinterest though, where I was like scrolling through Pinterest and saw these images of chicks that were like climbing ropes and like throwing barbells awesome. Around and like covered in chalk and like so muscly. And I was like, hoo-hoo, I want to be like that when I grow up. And so I figured out that was CrossFit. I found a Groupon, I signed up, and it was just game over. So photography kind of took a back seat because I became so passionate about CrossFit and fitness, and ultimately that morphed into nutrition, and then that morphed into, you know, body image and mindset and all the things that kind of grow from that experience, because I think it's so powerful and it kind of bleeds into all areas of life. I think a lot of people can resonate with that when they think back on how they started CrossFit or started weightlifting and it really changed their life. And I'm just one of those people too. It just changed everything for me. So I still do photography a little bit on the side, but really my main gig is now the blog. And the blog was sort of born out of becoming fascinated by nutrition and fitness and just getting better. And people would kind of reach out to me and be like, hey, what are you doing? How are you eating? Like people from you know what Facebook now, like you're friends with like people from elementary school and just like kindergarten and, you know, people from, so I had these people who I'd like had hardly ever talked to, like messaging me being like, hey, what's up? Cool. Hey, how are you eating right now? Like, what's going on? You know, they wanted to know.
What are you eating
today? Exactly. Like they wanted to know. I was like, man, there's like, people want to know this. Like they want kind of help. They want guidance with this stuff. And I've always loved to write, and obviously I love photography, and so it seemed kind of like a natural fit to kind of mesh it all together in the blog. So that's how the blog was born. And then through CrossFit, I obviously went and I got my L1, and I became a coach, and I really loved that because it's sort of like, to me, like the hands-on version of what I'm doing with the blog. Like I get to work with people day in, day out. I get to really like help them in a real way. I get to see them crush the shit out of their goals. I get to see them face challenges that scare them. I get to see them overcome stuff. So that for me is awesome. So I coach, and I love doing that because like I said, it's like the hands-on version of the blog. So it's really kind of grown and become this big thing that I never, you know, 6-7 years ago, if you told me I'd be sitting here doing this, if you even told me I'd be comfortable like with a barbell or that I would live in a gym, I would literally laugh in your face because that was so not comfortable for me. And here we are. So
yeah, exactly.
It's surprising, but yeah, CrossFit changed everything for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was kind of the same thing for me. Like if you told me 6 or 7 years ago that this would be basically my full-time gig, like I would have laughed in your face. I'm like, I'm an extreme introvert. Also, like I'm going to work in politics, which like I did for a while and hated it. So that's why I like went back to school and everything. But I didn't realize until I listened to your first podcast episode that you actually were a swimmer too. I swam through college. So I was
I was like, I did it forever, but I stopped at like adolescence. So it's kind of like, it seems like, you know, I did it from when I could walk to when I was like 12. So I stopped when I was really young, but it was such a big chunk of my life for that period. So yeah, it was a long, long time ago, but I loved it. And I think that CrossFit brings out that same feeling where like you're working for yourself for your own time, but you're also kind of part of a team, you know? I mean, at least when I was doing it competitively, you know, you're part of a team and you kind of want your team to go well. But of course, at the end of the day, it's just you against you. You're trying to beat your own time. It's you alone on that platform. It's you alone in the water. And like, it's kind of the same vibe in CrossFit. It's very cool.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of crossover too, even just being, whether it's swimming or track or even football, like a competitive athlete and then carrying that over to CrossFit. Like almost every single time that I step up to do a WOD, if I'm like super excited about it, it's like that same jitters of like when you used to step up on the blocks and you're like, all right, I'm ready to go. Or especially like the open workouts, you're like, okay, this is a big meet. Like I got to be ready. And it's just like 3, 2, 1, like boom, let's go.
I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
I love it. I love the open.
Coming up too.
Oh my God, I know. I'm so excited. I love the open so much. It's my favorite time of year. I totally nerd out on it. I fucking love it. It's everything I love about CrossFit. Like ultra concentrated, condensed to like 5 weeks, and it just fucking fires me up. I love it.
It's great. Okay, so speaking of that, let's get to the bulk of the episode, I guess you could say. Yeah. So there's a really common misconception that lifting weights or CrossFit is going to make women big and bulky. And I'm sure you get a lot of this as a coach and someone who's on social media talking about CrossFit. So without me asking any specific questions, what are your initial thoughts on that?
Okay, so I have a few thoughts on that, and I don't know, they might seem competing, but I'm going to say them anyway. So, number one is you can like your body any way you want your body. If you feel like you don't look good or you aren't comfortable a certain way, like you don't have to pursue it. Okay, so I just like to say that. Like, I don't feel like everybody has to lift weights or everybody has to look a certain way. If you feel like you don't want to touch weights for your own reasons, like listen, far be it from me to tell you that it should be different. Okay, however, having said that, it's not true. So there's that. Okay, so like it won't necessarily make you bulky. There's a lot of things that go into this. Number one is volume and how hard you're actually, not hard because that's all relative, but how dedicated you are, I should say, to the gym space. If you see these chicks on Instagram that are just like, busting out of their t-shirts and all this stuff, like, girl, they did not just like start CrossFit like for 1 hour a day for a couple months. Do you know what, like
They did not
that
wake
is
up like that.
right, that is their life, that is absolute 1000% 17 different layers of dedication that they are living. Like, that's their job. So I will say that as well. Just seeing an image and thinking that's going to be you if you touch a barbell is misguided. But there's also the element to nutrition. I think that what happens is sometimes women start lifting weights and they don't have the nutrition dialed in, and their body's going to change. Like, that's just what's going to happen. Their body's going to change. And so if you're adding, a layer of body fat on top of muscle growth, I can understand how you would feel like that's not something that you really were going after, right? And maybe you think that that's bulky. So we have to get nutrition in place too when we're talking about lifting weights. Again, you're entitled to want your body however you want it. I'm not here to tell you otherwise, but that's certainly something to consider as well. And the third thing that I would say to this is I think that something happens. I don't know. It's hard to kind of put into words, but I think people think immediately of starting like weightlifting or doing CrossFit because it comes from a very specific place, and that place is I want to look a certain way, or I want to lean out, or I want to get muscle, or I want to fit into this dress for this date I have, or whatever, right? I mean, like, we all know that feeling. I think like so many of us can remember way back when to when we started our fitness journey that it was probably started for the similar reasons. However, when you start doing CrossFit or you start lifting weights, something really, really magical happens in the process where all of a sudden, that's not necessarily what you're working towards anymore. It becomes something so much bigger. I mean, case in point for me, case in point for you, right? Like, it changed our lives. Like, this feeling of wanting to be better, wanting to be bigger, wanting to be more powerful in your life, and tackle these little things that are scary to you, like day in, day out, like that transforms you in like a real way. So I have a lot of different thoughts on this, obviously, but like, I do still occasionally hear in kind of corners of the gym, women saying that they don't want to do this because it makes them bulky. But at the same time, I hear women say that they want to be toned. And so I get confused because, well, I don't get confused. I think they're confused because what toned is muscle mass that you can see. So like adding muscle and maybe dropping a little bit of body fat so that you have the definition. That's what toned is. So we come back again to this lifting weights and nutrition meshing. And I don't know. Again, you can like your body however you want it. You're entitled to it. But I just think something really cool happens where you start to transcend fear of looking a certain way, and like your life can fucking just change in such powerful ways when you actually start lifting weights. So I guess I will leave it there. It's a lot of different things, but I encourage people to do it.
Yeah, that was awesome. And there's also so many other aspects to it. Like, at least in my experience, and I would say 95% of the women that I've worked with in CrossFit, like, once you start doing CrossFit and lifting and you want to get better and all this stuff, you care more about like the weight on the barbell or like the amount of weight you can lift rather than the weight that you're, it says on the scale, because it's like muscle weighs more than fat, right? So you could weigh the exact same 6 months from now if you start doing CrossFit, but like you will look so much more toned and you'll have so much more muscle mass and your metabolism is revved up and all this stuff. But like people would have thought that you lost 10, maybe 15 pounds, even though you lost some body fat and then gained it in muscle.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like, I mean, I'm sure you've had this experience of like talking to guys that are like trying to bulk up, right? Whether they're like in CrossFit or they're in bodybuilding, they're like, oh my God, it's so hard like to move up a weight class or like to put on muscle. And like, if it's really hard for men who have, you know, X amount of like so many times the amount of testosterone that women have and like they're struggling to put on weight when they're basically making that their job, right? Like they're in the gym, they're lifting really heavy weights, like maybe low volume but heavier, and then they're eating to gain muscle, but they're still not doing it. Like if you're a woman and even if you follow that same protocol, it's going to be so much harder for you to build muscle and like bulk up, as we're saying, than it would for a man. So like if you're a woman and you're doing CrossFit and you're lifting weights and you're not trying to bulk up through your nutrition and stuff, like it's going to be really hard for you to do that. Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These people that you see, that is their life. They are dedicated to it. Like the chicks you see at like the CrossFit games, like they're not just like casual gym goer exercisers, right? Like this is their absolute life and they've been doing it for like forever. So yeah, this fear that it's going to happen overnight by accident without you like actively working your face off to make it happen is a total myth. Yeah, it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, the women in the CrossFit games, and the guys, too, they're so genetically gifted that, like, they are the part of that, like, 1 or even 0.5% where it's, like, it's easier for those women to put on muscle than most people, I would say. And then the other thing is, like, a lot of women I've experienced, not in my CrossFit gym personally, but just having heard them, they're like, oh, I don't want to do CrossFit because it'll make me look like those women in the CrossFit games. And like we've talked about this a little bit, but in my head, it's kind of like, how do you not see that? Say we're comparing it to another sport, right? So the CrossFit games are like the Olympics of CrossFit, right? So that is the top 1% and everything. Then if you look at like swimmers in the Olympics or you look at marathon runners in the Olympics, like would you ever say like, oh, I don't want to go swimming because I don't want to look like Michael Phelps with his like super broad shoulders and like tiny waist, or like I don't want to run sometimes because I don't want to look like the super skinny marathon runners in the Olympics? Like that's like the same thing. Yeah. And yet nobody thinks that way, right? It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's so true. It takes so much. It takes a lifetime of dedication. And I just feel like, I mean, again, once you start it too, like you were saying, it's so transformative in the sense that like, I think, first of all, what was incredible for me too, was my idea of what a hot body looked like changed like 1,000 degrees like I started CrossFit, and after, like that totally morphed to where like now, I mean whatever, like I don't, it's my idea of like what I thought was like really attractive completely changed. And I think that that happens when it just happens by nature, because you look at that and you're like, wow, that is somebody who is like dedicated, or that is somebody who is like crazy strong. And like, I want to be strong. And it changes, the whole thing just kind of shifts in your mindset when you start to play around with this stuff. So I almost feel like, I mean, no, I don't think CrossFit is for everybody, but I do think that like everybody should have a little bit, or should at least try it, because you never know how it could absolutely transform not only your body, but like the way you tackle life, the way you view yourself, the way you view like goals and accomplishments, like what you want to achieve in the gym and beyond. I think it just has the potential to just like revolutionize so much. And it gets you out of this like, I really, really want to look like this, but not too much because that's too da 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 da. I mean, I've been there, right? Like you're looking at like Us Weekly or something. I mean, I can remember way, way, way back when I'd just look through and be like, oh, that's too much, or that I want to look like that. And you're going through and it's just like, I think when you start doing CrossFit or weightlifting, that piece is gone. Like, I mean, I don't think it happens overnight. It takes a lot of work, but it starts to get you there step by step, where all of a sudden that's not the game you're playing anymore. You're like, I want to get a muscle up. That's what I want for myself. Not like those legs, but not too much like that. If that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like that changes. That changes. So
yeah. Yeah. It changes so much. Yeah. And it's like, whether you are afraid of trying CrossFit, like you, in my opinion, you just need to try and find some kind of working out that makes you feel empowered as a woman, right? Or as a man, whatever. Like, for most people, in order to feel empowered, that's, you know, I can run really fast, or I can lift that weight, or like I can pick my kids up and play with them and not get tired, or, you know, whatever that means to you. But it could be, you know, you feel really empowered if you know how to dance really well, or like, for most people, it's going to be lifting weights. But I really encourage people to just try and find something that makes them feel really empowered. And it just so happens that CrossFit happens to do that very well. So,
yeah, same. Yep, agree. CrossFit does it for me. It does it. I see it in the gym. I see it with people. Like, just, it just changes everything. It's really, it's pretty cool.
Basically, it's just cool. Fucking awesome. That's his,
yeah,
you know.
To sum up, yeah, you should do it. It's the best.
Awesome. So the next thing I want to talk about is, a while ago, you wrote a blog post about how to become unfuckwithable. And you even have some really awesome crop tops to go with it.
Yeah.
So I want to know, like, where did that idea come from? And, like, what does it mean to be unfuckwithable?
The blog post kind of just came from me wanting to write a I did write a blog post a couple years ago that was, I think it's still one of like the most popular articles on my blog. And it was called, it was called, I was like, what is it called?
It's called Who Am How, I Again?
I know. Okay, so who the fuck am I? It's called How I Found Body Confidence by Running Out of Fucks. And it was like a really popular article, and it was about me just like, just finally saying fuck it and like taking my shirt off in the gym during a workout. When I was not, I didn't feel secure in it, but I did it anyway, and it kind of changed a lot for me. So anyway, I kind of wanted to write a post that was sort of in that vein, being like, listen, like if you're feeling like you just need like a kick in the pants and you just are ready to like go out there and tackle some shit, here are 5 ways that you can just like be the strongest, most badass version of you. And so that's sort of what the post is. So it's kind of like these 5 ways to just kind of be, as Steph Godreau would say, an unbreakable human, right? Like a really power, like a force to be reckoned with. And so that is what the blog post was about. And the 5 ways that I have on the blog, number 1 is what we were just talking about. It's finding your strength, right? It's like feeling, it's not just your internal strength, because that's cool. And I support that. And that's what a lot of the episodes, articles on my blog are about, is finding your internal strength. But sometimes the fastest way to get there is by finding your physical strength. And just like you were just saying, feeling empowered, doing something with your body in a way that transcends how it looks, or like pursuing an aesthetic. So finding your strength, like throwing a barbell around, like feeling like you have some power, like your body can do awesome things. The second one is tapping into your power, which is sort of like, how to stop living like a victim in your life and start owning your choices, like taking responsibility for the situations that you're in, figuring out how you can change what's changeable and accept what's not. Because I think that is a huge, huge deal that a lot of people struggle with, where they are constantly fighting with the way things are, and they just wish things would be different, whether it's their body, whether it's their relationships, whether it's whatever, and they're constantly wishing things were different instead of embracing how they are right now. And I think that that can change a ton. The third is to know who you are. And I have, like, if you've listened to my podcast at all, like, you might know that I have like this, I'm like, I nerd out on like self-help books and like psychology books. And so for me, like taking these like online quizzes, like Myers-Briggs or 4 Tendencies or Your Love Language or Strengths Finder or any of these like really, really smart tools to help you kind of identify your tendencies and your habits and your behaviors and figure out where things are stemming from, I think is super powerful, because it then gives you the opportunity to modify what isn't working for you and to like understand yourself better. Like, I think that that can be really powerful. And then number four is to stop apologizing for everything I just said. Stop apologizing for how strong you are. Stop apologizing for knowing who you are. Stop apologizing for owning your choices. I think that women just like apologize for everything. It drives me crazy.
It's exhausting. It's like you're in it. And it's really stressful too.
Like you're in it. I mean, even like the small shift from being in like a grocery store and somebody walks into you and you're like, oh, sorry. And you're like, why the fuck did I just, that person just walked right into me. Like this, we apologize all day for everything. We apologize in little ways that don't really matter, but they do. And we apologize in big ways that we shouldn't be apologizing for. To pay attention to how and what you're apologizing for and start owning things instead can be super powerful. And then the fifth one is to just like bet on yourself, to trust your own gut, to learn to really like have your own back in times when you are unsure, you know, when you don't know how things are going to turn out, or when you're taking a risk, or when you're feeling really filled with fear or just insecure or intimidated. Just like bet on yourself, trust your gut, and just take a chance. And so those are the five things that I have in that blog post. And it just kind of, you know, kind of like you were saying, kind of grew and people really liked that idea. And so I made shirts and stuff, but like, it was, I think that those are, I think if I had to sum up my blog and what I do and my mission statement, it would be those five things. So that was sort of like, that's where that whole thing kind of was born out of. And I'm really happy that it kind of resonated with people. It makes me happy to see.
Oh my God. It was such, I like, if anyone hasn't read this post on Taylor's blog, you have to go read it. Like, it's so empowering. And like, I, the first time I read it, I almost started crying because like, even oh. for me, like I've come so far in my like self-love and body image and whatever journey. But like, if I had been like anywhere like along my journey, not this far yet, I would have like broken down reading that. It sounds like you're talking exactly to your reader and you know exactly what they're going through, which like you do know exactly what they're going through. And I think that's why it resonates so well with people. And that's why, like, I also loved that you made these shirts crop tops, because like, before that shirt, I had never fucking worn a crop top in my life. Like, let me tell you. And I am not the kind of person that's like, oh yeah, like I'm going to go around like wearing a crop top. But as soon as I got it, I was like, fuck this. I'm wearing it to the gym today. Like, I don't even fucking care. And like, when, let me tell you, when you wear that shirt that says unfuckwithable on it, you're like, nobody can fuck with me today. Like, I don't even care. Like, you can say anything you want to me. Like, cut me off in traffic. Do what you want. Like, I'm going to do me. And like, you can't faze me. Like, it's just awesome.
Ah, I love to hear that. That's totally. You're not. I've actually heard from quite a few women that exactly what you just said. They never owned a crop top before, but they went ahead and they did it. And I love, love, love that on so many levels. I can't even begin to like open it, that closet of shit, because I love that so in so many ways. Ah, makes me so happy to hear.
Yeah, and it's great. And I feel like even just that shirt, like without the blog post itself, it's super empowering, because like, fuck, I don't have a six pack. I don't even have like a two pack, right? And so like, this is just goes to show like, who the fuck cares if I have a six pack or a flat stomach, or if I don't, like, I'm still gonna wear this and feel really good about it. And I'm like, whatever, I'm gonna lift some heavy stuff or like go run or whatever it is and just feel really good about it no matter what my body looks or feels like today.
I love that.
Thanks. Well, you're doing a fantastic job. So,
ah, thank you.
But so, speaking of that, if people haven't listened to your podcast yet, it's already kicking ass. First off, congrats, because it's so awesome. And you definitely need to go check out She Thrives Radio if you haven't listened to it yet. I really loved how in the first episode you were talking about how podcasting actually makes you super uncomfortable, because like, yeah. Nobody talks about that, right? And like, we were just talking before we got on the call that like, I'd never done a Skype interview on podcasts before. Like, neither of us had done this before. So we're like, oh, we don't know what we're doing. Like, we're just going to try and figure this out and whatever. But like, as entrepreneurs, I feel like most people now are talking about, you know, just hustle, 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 like fake it till you make it, all this stuff. But putting yourself out there as an entrepreneur, whether it's through your blog or Instagram stories or any kind of social media or a podcast, like, can be a really scary thing. And like, I'm still super intimidated, like slightly less than I was before I started, but like every time I record a podcast, I'm like, oh, like, am I gonna mess up this time? And then I'm just like, whatever, like, people know who I am, and like, if they're listening to me, they probably don't care if I mess up anyways. But I think it makes you more relatable, even though like most entrepreneurs or people that are look up to entrepreneurs or follow us, they probably think that we have our shit together for the most part, but like, we totally don't. And I'm like, basically flying by the seat of my pants like every day.
Yeah, that is something that I actually really try to talk about quite a bit, because I do feel like that's such a common, it's this mindset of kind of like, I can't remember where I originally heard this term, but comparisonitis, where you're looking around at everybody else. And I mean, I think that no matter what your job is, your industry, or because I think we do this in a million ways. Like it's we do it to bodies, like other bodies. We compare ourselves to other human bodies. We compare ourselves to other like families and businesses and whatever. And we're like, wow, that person is really cool and knows exactly what they're doing and has like a super like awesome plan and they're following it to a T and they're just super awesome. And I'm not like that. And I feel like that is something that I try to talk a lot about, because like you just said, nobody fucking knows what they're doing. Like we're all, this didn't come with a handbook, right? Like we're all making it up as we go. And I think keeping that in perspective, I think really helps people understand that like, oh yeah, like it's okay if I don't know what I'm doing right now. It's okay if I'm kind of just making it up as I go along, because you know what? Everybody else is too. Everybody else is too. They might be maybe a little bit further along the road than you are, right? Like they might be a little bit further down their own journey and therefore have a little bit more advice to kind of give back to you, which is why you look up to these experts and you follow these blogs and you do whatever. But at the end of the day, like they're still on this path that doesn't have a roadmap, right? Like nobody knows what the fuck's going on here. And so we're all just doing the best we can. And I think that really helps to kind of just like, when you remember that, it's like, oh yeah. Okay, cool. Just, I'm glad we're all kind of on the same page. Like it kind of makes, it takes some pressure off. And I think it just kind of reminds you that like, we're all kind of just doing the same thing here and nobody knows what they're doing.
Right. And even if people are just starting out in their, like if they're starting a new business or they're starting a new social media page, or even if someone is just starting, like they're realizing that they do have like a messed up relationship with food or their body and they're like just starting there. Like I've had some people reach out to me and they're like, oh my God, you've come so far. Like, how did you do that? Like, it seems like you've done this so fast. I'm like, girl, let me tell you. Like my relationship with food and my body has been messed up since I was like 9 years old, right? So like almost 20 years later, I'm finally at a place where I can like coach people through that and give them advice and like all of this other kind of stuff. Or even I feel like a lot of people fall into the trap of comparing themselves to like an earlier self. Where, mm-hmm. So like when I was in college and I was really sick and a varsity athlete and all this stuff, I was probably 30 pounds lighter than I am right now because I was so sick and like so frail, and I can look back at pictures of myself and I'm like, it looks like I'm gonna break in half. And then for the next couple of years after college, when I started to like put on muscle and like gain a little bit of weight, because like spoiler alert, that's what happens when you stop being an athlete 6 hours a day. And yeah. I was like, shit, like I wish I could like go back to that time, like those pictures, I look so much skinnier. And then I'm like, wait a minute, like I was frail and sick and, you know, all this stuff. So, I mean, it just goes to show, even if you're starting, like nobody knows what they're doing and you're going to have bumps along the way and you kind of just have to accept that, right? And then once you are at peace with that, you're like, oh, I might not have my shit together. I know there's going to be really hard stuff along the way and I have to challenge myself to get out of my comfort zone, but that's all okay. And as long as you stay real, people are going to be drawn to you for your message and all that stuff.
Yeah. And I think that it is interesting when you're talking about comparing yourself to an earlier you, because I think it works the other way too. Some people, like, I mean, this is something that I'm going through right now too, where like, I feel like if you have, or you were training for a while, or you kind of like hit this amazing stride in your fitness and you were feeling really strong, maybe you were like lean, like you were saying, or maybe it was whatever, but you were like super powerful in the gym and you were really strong and you were like a total athlete and you're such a badass. And then life it happened, as it does, you know, and you weren't able to maintain that. Maybe you got an injury. Maybe you got pregnant. Maybe you started a business. Maybe whatever. Something happened.
Or right? Like all the above at the same time.
Right, which definitely happens. Right? Like all of a sudden, that's not necessarily your life anymore. And I feel like I hear so often in the gym, and I do this too, and I'm really – it's like my, I'm really trying to curb it and pay attention to it and notice it when I'm saying that. But like the mindset of being like back then, you know, or like I used to be able to do this, or my back squat used to be this number, or I used to be able to do this many muscle ups, or I used to be this, I used to be that. And that mindset is equally as dangerous, right? It's just like, it's still comparing yourself to a previous you. It's putting yourself down for where you are right now because you're feeling like you're not measuring up to your, like, you know, necessarily like your own self. Obviously, I think a lot of that has to do with external pressures that you're feeling, and that's why you're in this insecure place where you're comparing yourself. But I feel like if you can take a moment to really embrace where you are, like, warts and all, you know, like even if you gained a bunch of weight, or you're not as fit, or you can't hang in the gym anymore, or things aren't really, like, you know, it doesn't matter, right? Like, we're all just doing the best we can with what we have right now. And so whether you feel like you're on top of the your game or not, it's important to embrace this moment right now. And like I was talking about before, stop fighting with how you wish things were, and instead embrace how they actually are, to free up that mental stress, that like that awful fighting feeling that I know really well, and I know a lot of people are familiar with, and create some space for like some positive action, embracing where you are, and like figuring out what you want next in like a really kind of objective, fun, growth mindset type of way, versus feeling like you need to fix something, get back to where you were, or any other, you know, any of the above, like we were talking about.
Yeah, that's fucking amazing. So this has been really awesome. I just have a couple of listener questions.
Yeah.
So one of them is, Taylor, I know you used to follow a macro style plan. How do you eat now?
That is a great question. So how I eat right now at this moment today is I am tracking my macros right now. And I'm going to do a whole podcast episode on this because I have a lot, like there's a lot of things going on in here, but like I was just talking about, I am not where I was anymore. I've gained almost somewhere in the region of between 10 and 15 pounds in the last 6 months. And I'm 5'2". So it's like kind of, yeah, you know, five, for me, it changes a lot for me. Right. And I have been honestly and genuinely very okay with that. Like I have not been fighting that. I've been very comfortable with it. I've taken it for what it is. Like it's not a big deal for me. However, we're talking about this in the beginning of the episode. The open is coming, and man, if there is anything I love in this world, it is feeling like a fucking rock star in the open. I love that. Now, it doesn't mean I got to be the fittest in the gym. It doesn't mean I got to be the fittest in the world, because we all know that's possible. But it's the fittest for me, and like the feeling capable and feeling really powerful. And so to bring it full circle, the way that I get into that space, the way I have felt really, really works for me in my own way, is tracking macros. For me, that works. I don't stress out about it. I'm very casual about it, to be honest. If I could probably fine tune a lot on it. I take it very lightly. It's kind of just a guiding, you know, it's just kind of a template for me. I don't obsess about it by any means, but for me, that helps me. It's amazing. It's been like a week or so, and I already feel like I'm kind of back in my power in the gym. It changes. It makes me almost emotional. It really changes a lot for me. So for me, I keep saying that because I don't want to say that this is what everybody needs to be doing, because whew. But for me, it changes for me, and I have something that I'm working towards, which is really feeling super powerful and very capable in the gym again, which I haven't felt in a while, and it just lights me up. And so that's how I'm currently eating to pursue that specific feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think it does go to say, like, in order to be able to follow a macros plan and like not go super insane with it. You do have to be like in a certain headspace, right? And like a lot of people probably don't know this about me because they probably hear so much like, you know, Whole 30 and everything with me. But actually right now, like I'm also like loosely following a macros plan because the end of this month, I'm doing my first Olympic weightlifting competition. So like,
yay!
You have to make weight. Thanks. Yeah. You have to make weight. And like, lucky for me, like I only have to cut like a pound or like 2 pounds in order to make weight for my weight class. But like, I know that as like as annoying as it is, because I hate, you know, the whole thing of like, oh, I have to lose weight to like compete and everything. And I honestly, I think that's what held me back from competing for so long. But now it's just like, okay, it's more just like I'm taking scientific data and like I realize that I have a lot more energy in the gym when I look or when I eat like this, and I don't feel restricted at all, and it doesn't feel like it's a burden or anything, and I know I'm not going to become obsessive over it. So that's also working well for me now.
Yeah, I and before this, like I will say that like until like I just got kind of back onto the macro thing just at the turn of the year. So it hasn't been that long. But before that, prior to that, I was more in kind of the intuitive eating space and just like I really wasn't following any plan to kind of like build off or answer her question a little bit more. Like I wasn't following that. And I don't want to suggest that intuitive eating makes you gain weight like I was talking about because it doesn't. Like I was definitely like really fine maintaining and like I loved kind of being off of any kind of plan and I loved all that. However, my training is really what changed a lot of that, and I kind of moved to like basically a sedentary lifestyle, which is I sit and write content and build my business all day every day. Like I'm at my desk now all the time, so training dropped to like 3 days a week. I sit at my desk all the time, so that was really kind of what contributed, and it was over like a really really long time frame. So I just want to be clear too that that was how I was eating before, and that's why this is why I'm eating the way I'm eating now.
Awesome. Okay, so next question, how was it interviewing Morgan King?
Ooh, it was awesome. Dude, she is the cutest. Like she is so funny and witty and really an awesome chick. She's actually from the Seattle area originally, so through like CrossFit and the fitness community here, we have a couple mutual friends. And so it was really fun to interview her and photograph her. Like it was amazing. I never thought I'd be able to kind of add that to my quote unquote resume, like yeah. Photographing an Olympic athlete was really, really neat. So yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that's so cool. So for anybody who doesn't know, Morgan King competed in the Olympics last time around in weightlifting for the US, and she's a badass.
Yeah, she took 7th in the 2016 Rio Olympics. It was pretty fucking impressive.
So cool. I'm so jealous. Yeah. Okay, next one. This one's a little bit off topic, but it's what are your and Taylor's go-to drinks? My first round of Whole 30 was almost a year ago, and I've been introduced to kombucha, seltzers, and herbal teas. What else is out there that's good to sip on? So I totally thought she meant like cocktails, like what are your favorite drinks? But I think she means like non-alcoholic, like non-sugar drinks and stuff.
Yeah, I sip on tequila all day. It's really delicious. You know, I'm not really like, I do coffee in the morning, obviously, duh, because it gives me life. But I have kombucha in the afternoon, but one of those like regular like trilogy bottles from, is it GT or whatever?
Yeah,
is
I that think the it's company? GT, yes. Something like that.
GT, yeah. So one of those lasts me like 3 days. I kind of sip at it. I don't really like, I don't take it, like I don't drink the whole bottle, but I sip at it. And then I do LaCroix, like I get paid to do it and in like really aggressive amounts, but it's my favorite. And water all day. Like that's really the extent of my beverage consumption.
Yeah, that's pretty much the same for me too. Sometimes, I guess I don't really call this a drink, but I do gut shots, the ones from Farmhouse Culture, but that's not really a drink. It's like a supplement, I would say. Okay, so this is the last one. This is actually from me. So if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self or someone who's struggling with their relationship with food in their body, what would it be?
That's a good question. I think it would kind of echo what we were talking about before, and it would be to stop fighting. Stop fighting. Stop fighting with all the things, all the ways that you're not necessarily happy or not necessarily thrilled or not necessarily embracing like what currently is. Stop trying to wish things were different and just take some time to slow it down and appreciate what's going right for you right now. And this is something that I've been, this is like the headspace I'm in right now, is really kind of navigating this place between embracing how you are, accepting what is, and seeking change, because I think that they can coexist. They're not mutually exclusive. However, I feel like most people are seeking change and want things to be different for themselves because it's coming from a place of feeling like they need to fix something. They're living out of fear. They're living out of urgency. Like, oh, I gotta fix this now. Like, it's coming from a place of stress. It's all these angry, negative emotions. And that is like what is the driving force behind wanting to make change for themselves, instead of coming from a place of feeling content and whole and complete as you sit right now, and wanting to make change in a sense, in a way to honor yourself versus fix yourself. So I think that that is huge for me. Like, just stop fighting and find a way to embrace where you are, because I just posted it on Instagram last night, and I shared it with my email list earlier this week, but there's this quote and it goes something to the effect of, the curious paradox is, once I accept myself as I am, then I can change. And so I think that to me right now is like the goal. Stop, accept where you are and see what happens.
Knowledge bomb. All right, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Taylor, for being on the show today. We'll definitely have to do this again. Can you tell people what you're most excited about now in your business and where they can find you?
Of course. So I have a nutrition and mindset program. It's 6 weeks long. It's super in depth. We go step by step through all the nitty gritty and all the stuff that goes on between us and food. And it's called the Nutrition Lab. And I, a couple times a year, open it up for new members, and a new opening is about to happen. So I'm really excited about that. We're going to open it up for new members. So that's coming up. So I'm really excited about that. Next on the docket is building out a body image course for people, which I'm very stoked about because that is also a huge passion of mine. So that's just kind of down the pipeline, but it's coming. And then I, you know, have the podcast, which is new, which, you know, I'm only 5 episodes in, but so far I'm really enjoying it and the feedback has been great. So that is She Thrives Radio on iTunes and Stitcher. And then the hub for like everything and all my articles and links and just thoughts and ramblings are on my blog, which is shethrivesblog.com. And my Instagram is shethrivesblog as well.
Killing it. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on again, and I'll have to talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Dana.
All right, guys, I freaking loved this episode, so I really hope you did too. If you enjoy the show, please remember to leave a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and come find me anywhere at Real Food with Dana, and Taylor, of course, over at She Thrives Blog. Talk to you soon.